Morning. I'd like to welcome everyone out to the Heatheridge 6th Ward. For those who are visiting, my name is Bishop Roberts. I will be presiding and conducting today. We also have on the stand Brother John Ballman from our High Council. And we have to excuse Brother Crabb. He is actually traveling today. A couple of announcements. First of all, we've been asked to read this from our stake president. Dear brother and sisters, the stake president has been instructed to hold an implementation meeting for the new Come Follow Me balanced teaching program. The implementation meeting will be held this evening, Sunday, November 11th, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Stake Center. Those invited and encouraged to attend the stake training include the following: all state council members, ward bishoprics, including secretaries and clerks, ward relief society presidencies, including secretaries, ward Sunday school presidencies, including secretaries, ward primary presidencies, including secretaries, all ward Sunday school instructors, and all ward primary instructors. And I think there might be another training session for the primary. Sister Ivy made us aware. So no one from the elders quorum, but all those who are listed, and we would encourage you to attend. Please ensure that all Come Follow Me manuals received by the ward after general conference have been distributed prior to this meeting according to the instruction, including with the manuals. We do have the manuals. We haven't been able to get that out to all the families at this point. We will go through the stake implementation, and then we have been asked to also then do a ward implementation, and we will be going through that over the next couple weeks. We talked about that today in ward council. So we have the new curriculum that we're rolling in, and then also just for those who didn't hear it in stake conference or didn't hear it last week, we will be moving to the stake building, the Heatheridge Stake building, as of the beginning of January. And for those who just moved into our ward, you only have a few weeks here, and then we'll be in a new building. And we're working through the logistics on that. I have a meeting with President Evans this afternoon to get more clarification. Oh, good point. So we were talking about the physical manuals, but the manuals for all the Come Follow Me are on LDS.org or in your app. So you have access to now, and you can be reviewing that. Tithing declaration is happening. We have the time slots sheets up on the clerk's office building, or the clerk's office, and there's a lot of white space. So I greatly appreciate people signing up. All it is a declaration, and we would really like to get this done before the holidays or Christmas holiday. Combined gospel doctrine class today. It will all be in the Relief Society room. And Brother Hill will be teaching. And then also Brother Perrette wanted me to remind you, we do have teachers council, and that will be held in the second hour in the overflow. And will we have the third hour or just? So the third hour, we will then move over to the old High Council room over here on the right here. The opening hymn will be hymn 25, Now We'll Sing With One Accord, and the invocation will be offered by Brother Mark Perrette.
Our eternal Father in heaven, we're so grateful that we could gather on this Sabbath day to come together as a ward family, and brothers and sisters in the gospel. We're so grateful to be members of this church and to have the opportunity to learn of thy gospel plan, to learn of all the things that we must know in order to come back home to thee. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to renew our covenants with thee and to partake of the sacrament. And we pray that thy spirit will be with us, that we can be attentive as we hear the messages thy servants have prepared for us. Please bless us this day and allow us to become enlightened. In these things we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to turn the time over to Brother Ballman for stake business.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you this morning. The stake presidency has asked that I conduct the following stake business. Mark T. Flickinger of the Heatheridge 4th Ward has been released as a member of the Stake High Council, and we propose that he be given a vote of thanks for his service. All who wish to express appreciation for his service, please manifest it. The following, please stand if present. M. Shane Clark of the Heatheridge 4th Ward has been called as a member of the Stake High Council. We propose that he be sustained. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may manifest it. Thank you.
We have a few items ward business, Brother Flickinger actually has been called to be the bishop of the 4th Ward. So we had him for a little while as our high counselor, and we appreciated all his work. We have called the following individuals. Please stand as your name is read. Adam and Leisha Lizaby. Austin and Jordan Holland. As temple and family history consultants, we propose that they be sustained. Those in favor may show it by uplifted hand. Any proposed by the same sign? Thank you. Our first speaker will be Sister Leisha Lizenby. We will then have an intermediate hymn, hymn 7, Israel, Israel, God is Calling. And our concluding speaker will be Brother Adam Lizenby.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. We're actually very excited to be speaking to you today. I am a little nervous, but we're still excited. So just a brief intro as to who we are. I am currently working as a law clerk in Salt Lake County in the DA's office. Adam is at the tail end of one job and starting into another job starting next week. So we're both just working. He is also working towards his MBA next fall. We met in the promised land of Logan, Utah, and while we were both attending Utah State in 2012. And although it's a story for another time, I actually ended up asking him on the first date, which probably mortified my mother, but I've been doing that for about 27 years now, so that's nothing new for her. He took that and ran with it pretty quickly, probably a little bit faster than I was ready. In fact, that is the case. But then I eventually realized he is an incredible guy, and we were married in August of 2013. And I'm so grateful that he took a chance on the hard-headed person in front of you today. After we were married, I finished my undergrad at Utah State in law and constitutional studies, and then he transferred to UVU to finish his bachelor's in technology management. And we both just graduated. He graduated with his bachelor's in April, and I also graduated from actually law school in April as well. Like I said, he's currently working towards his MBA, and we're here, and we're very grateful to be part of this ward. We've already felt so much love and friendship from all of you, so we really appreciate it. Today, we have been asked, Brother Holland asked us to speak on the topic that's been fairly prominent in General Conference and President Nelson's invitations to us, and that is the Gathering of Israel. Now, as I prepared this talk, I thought it was a pretty broad topic, and that was initially daunting. But as I thought about it some more, I realized that how much I didn't fully understand the concept. It's floated around lots of different ways and in different lessons that we've had, but understanding the foundations of what the Gathering of Israel, I guess I'd never fully comprehended that. And I'd always cabined it to simply serving a mission or handing someone a Book of Mormon. But as I studied, I realized the Gathering of Israel is so much more meaningful, and the approach is much more flexible than I had generalized it to be. When I was younger, I thought that sharing the gospel and gathering Israel was serving a mission, and that wasn't necessarily a burning passion for me, I'm sorry to say, but I just wasn't very good at just starting up a conversation and sharing the gospel with somebody. That was pretty nerve-wracking to me. I didn't want them to feel like I was making them my project and that's the person I was going to share the gospel with, and they were going to accept it whether they liked it or not. And that's just what I perceived this to be. And so I felt that I wasn't necessarily the mission material, and it wasn't my first choice. And then one day, kind of an aha moment for me, I was sitting in, it was either a Sunday school or Relief Society lesson, probably the tail end of my high school years, and the topic of missionary work via raising children came up, and I thought, yeah, I can do that. I can go along my merry way now. I'll be married someday, and I'll start having kids, and then I can teach them the gospel, and then I'll send them on their way, and they can do the scary stuff. Well, 5 years later, and we don't have any children yet of our own to teach, but I realized, especially after conference and being asked to study and give this talk, I've been just biding my time until I can share the gospel through children, and I've not been actively working to share the gospel or to gather Israel. And for me, after studying the topic more, the answer for me specifically is family history and attending the temple. And it's pretty fitting with the calling that we just received. And so that's kind of what I'll focus on a little bit later in my talk. But for now, I wanted to kind of give just a very touching of the surface, not definition, but kind of an explanation of what this concept and what the why it's significant, but this gathering of Israel. First, I want to talk about what the gathering of Israel is and why it's significant. And then I want to talk to you about what you and I can do now and what will happen when we do those things. So this is, like I said, a very basic introduction. I also encourage you to look up, there's an article on LDS.org entitled, What is the Gathering of Israel? And it's by David A. Edward. And it provides, it's a fairly simple, but it's a really informative sketch of the history behind and the gathering and how we fit into it. But this is what I learned throughout my study and I felt was most important for the purposes of my talk. President Nelson actually in 2006 gave a talk called The Gathering of Scattered Israel, and he gave a pretty succinct explanation as to the gathering of Israel, and I just want to read that really quickly. He said that as the descendants of Abraham, the tribes of ancient Israel had access to priesthood authority and blessings of the gospel, but eventually those people rebelled. They killed the prophets and were punished by the Lord. So 10 tribes were carried captive into Assyria. From there, they became lost to the records of mankind. And obviously, the 10 tribes weren't lost to the Lord. But the two remaining tribes continued a short time. And then because of their rebellion, they were taken captive into Babylon. So eventually, all of the tribes were scattered. And when they returned, they were favored of the Lord. But again, they honored him not. They rejected and vilified him. A loving but grieved father vowed, I will scatter you among the heathen. And that he did into all nations. But then as we learn more, that just as determinedly as the Lord has scattered Israel, he promised that he would gather them together in the latter day, our day. That promise can be found throughout the scriptures, and even more today, as our prophet has indicated, that it is our responsibility to be aids in fulfilling that promise. He said that when we speak of the gathering, we are simply saying this fundamental truth. And this was important for me to hear because it just enlightened it that much more. But he said, every one of our Heavenly Father's children on both sides of the veil deserves to hear the message of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they decide for themselves if they want to know more. So in further identifying the gathering of Israel and why it's important, I've kind of thought of three things, or three P's, if you will. Prelude, protection, and perpetuation. And first, as President Nelson explains, the gathering of Israel is a prelude to the second coming. He continued in his talk to say, as prophesied by Peter and Paul, all things were to be restored in this dispensation. Therefore, there must come as a part of that restoration the long-awaited gathering of scattered Israel. And then he said, it is a necessary prelude to the second coming of the Lord. And I kind of wanted to just illustrate what a prelude is a little bit more, but it's an action or event that serves as an introduction to something more important. So in other words, this prelude that we're participating in or the gathering is just the opening act to this final production leading into the second coming of the Lord and when he will return to earth. And this prelude is vital to prime our hearts and our minds and the rest of the world to the glory and responsibility that is coming. Second, in participating and being a part of the gathering of Israel, it will provide protection as we gather together and work together to get more people to the gospel of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We find strength in numbers, so to speak. In the days of the early saints of this dispensation, the Lord instructed the saints to gather to the Ohio, and he gave them four specific reasons why in the Doctrine and Covenants. First, he promised them that when they gathered, they would escape the power of the enemy. They would be gathered unto God, a righteous people. They would receive God's law, and they would be endowed from power on high. And then today, just as it was then, the Lord gathers his people through us to protect them and to strengthen us spiritually. We are promised that as we gather to the stakes of Zion, it will be for a defense and for a refuge against evil. We all thrive when we are able to learn from the gospel from many different perspectives. And when we're joined together in one heart and mind with God, we find much strength to face the many challenges in our life. And the more that we gather our brothers and sisters, the more strength that we'll find. Further, the more that we act upon Heavenly Father's request that we gather Israel, we ready ourselves to receive more of God's law, which is evident just by the recent changes that we've seen through General Conference and the invitation from President Nelson this past summer to the youth. Finally, we are endowed with power from on high to accomplish the things that the Lord has asked of us. Nephi teaches us that in the Book of Mormon, that we can go forward not knowing beforehand what we'll do, but the Lord will guide us and help us do what he's asked of us. And that way we'll be led to know how to participate in the gathering of Israel. And then finally, the final P that I thought about was that the more we strive to be receptive to the Spirit and follow what President Nelson has asked us to do, the more we'll be able to receive power and revelation to guide us through our lives and in furthering this request. And the more that we'll show the Lord that we're ready for more revelation and power, our continual efforts to be instruments in Heavenly Father's hands will just help to further the work more. It's a strengthening and an enlightening cycle. And I know that I have found recently that as I'm trying and striving to endeavor to do what the prophet has asked us to do, specifically for me in attending the temple and reading the Book of Mormon, I have received revelation, and I know that I'm doing the right thing. And I know also that I'm just tapping the surface. So that brings me to my next point of what you and I can do and what will happen when we actively participate in gathering Israel. So first off, President Nelson has given the youth and sisters a specific and targeted invitation, and we can take that invitation from the prophet seriously and engage in the work. In regards to the gathering of Israel, President Nelson has emphatically told the youth that enlisting in the youth battalion of the Lord, that means that it is their responsibility to help gather Israel on both sides of the veil. The gathering is the greatest challenge, the greatest cause, and the greatest work on earth today. And I remember as I was listening to this during the summer and preparing for this talk, that was pretty powerful, that's the greatest challenge, the greatest cause, and the greatest work on earth today. And then again in the General Relief Society meeting, President Nelson invited the sisters to also shape the future by gathering scattered Israel. In both of these meetings, President Nelson asked us to put aside social media or any distractions that created a dissonance with the Holy Ghost, to sacrifice our time in doing something for the Lord, such as attending the temple, and to fully participate either in Relief Society or amongst friends and being a light. So we have the youth battalion and the sister squad. So brethren, it's likely that your action to call is coming like in 5 months or so, so be ready. Better yet, join the youth and sisters, and you'll be that much more prepared when your clarion call does come. Pray to know what is distracting you. Pray to know what is keeping you from hearing the promptings of the Spirit. Join in the challenge to read the Book of Mormon before the end of the year, looking for Christ throughout, and sacrifice time to serve the Lord. Then it won't be a problem for you when your time comes, or if it comes. For me, going to the temple is my safe and happy place in this call to action. It's what I found that I right now feel comfortable doing with my own limitations. As I go to the temple, I'm actively participating in the gathering of Israel that I was so hesitant to take part in as a youth, or at least how I understood it to be. As I stand proxy for those who have passed before, I have been reminded that in doing so is in fact an effort in gathering And I find that this is something that I can do and I am comfortable with while I'm building up the gumption to be able to be more bold and faithful. President Nelson has said the gathering of Israel ultimately means offering the gospel of Jesus Christ to God's children on both sides of the veil who have neither made crucial covenants with their God nor received their essential ordinances. As you do anything that helps anyone on either side of the veil take a step towards making covenants with God and receiving their essential baptismal and temple ordinances, you are helping to gather Israel. It's as simple as that. When we were in the temple last week, as we're trying to be more faithful and heed the invitations from the prophet, I was reminded that we're able to receive revelation again as we're doing what God has asked us to do. During state conference, I had written down a prompting that I had that I wanted to be a greater instrument in God's hands, but I was also feeling a little guilty because I didn't feel that I was bold enough or faithful enough to actually be that instrument today. Again, with that notion that that's handing a Book of Mormon to someone or just speaking openly and boldly about the gospel. But as we were sitting in the sealing room, the sealer was telling us, and what he told us was that specifically, we are instruments in God's hands as we're there to help people receive ordinances that they can't do for themselves on earth today. And it just reminded me, like, it just made the connection that in two separate instances, God had spoken to me and said, you are to be an instrument, and I didn't know how. And then I was in the temple, and he said, this is how. And so as we're doing these things that the prophet has asked us to do, I know that we'll receive answers and confirmations that what we're doing is correct. Going to the temple and participating in family history is just part of the gathering of Israel, and it's something that I've never internalized or realized until just recently. And we can gather Israel on either side of the veil. So as an invitation to you, and as part of the new calling, I wanted to let you know that we are planning a Word Temple Night on December 7th, and I would strongly encourage you to take part in this, as many of our Word members as possible. Find names that you can bring with you on that night, but even if you can't come, we still want as many of you to come. More details will be coming, but this is just another way that we as a Word can work together to gather Israel, and it will add that strengthening component that comes from gathering. If you're like me, this can count towards your individual efforts towards gathering Israel. And I know that taking part in this activity will bless our lives and will be inspired by the Spirit and receive answers to our questions about how we individually can further the gathering of Israel. And another effort that I have partaken in is taking the challenge to read the Book of Mormon. And though I'm very far behind, I'm learning more of what my Heavenly Father and Savior do for me. When I started reading, I was having a hard time really catching the feel of what just highlighting the Lord's name in the Book of Mormon meant to me. And it just I wasn't getting that feeling that I felt like I was supposed to be getting and that President Nelson had promised. And then I had a prompting to highlight all of the verbs and everything that the Lord did or does in conjunction with highlighting the mention of him. And you know what I learned? I learned that the Lord commands, and when we're obedient, the Lord protects, he provides, and it gives us power to accomplish the things that he asks. I'm learning that the Lord preserves us, he leads us out of captivity, and that he lives and that he speaks to us. Now, I understand that this is how power comes, through following the prophet and preparing to gather Israel. And I'm gaining a better understanding of what the Lord does for us, and I'm also shoring up my testimony and gaining the knowledge and power to testify about that to others who don't know it or who are wavering in their testimonies. And I have learned a lot about the importance of not sharing the gospel, but actively gathering Israel into Zion. I'm grateful that we're able to be instruments in the Lord's hands, and I know that when we seek his help, it will come in abundance and more. I've seen that already as I have made decisions that put me more in line with what our Heavenly Father has asked of us through his prophet, President Nelson. I've gained a stronger testimony that he is the Lord's prophet today, and he is guiding us and challenging us to be better. My hope is that as we join zealously in this endeavor, the gathering of our scattered brothers and sisters, we can join in the refrain from the song, Israel, Israel, God is calling. Come to Zion, ere his floods of anger flow. Come to Zion, and within her walls rejoice. come to Zion, for your coming Lord is nigh. Come to Zion, Zion's walls shall ring with praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. As my wife stated, we're both very excited to be able to speak with you guys. I unfortunately am not going to have enough time to cover as much as I wanted, so I apologize if my talk may seem a little choppy in some places, as I've got to skip over a lot of stuff that I really don't want to. So to begin, in receiving this assignment, I really wanted to be able to understand who is Israel. In understanding that, that's how I formed the basis of this talk. And in gathering this information, I looked through church manuals. I have quotes from Elder McConkie. I have a lot of material, which if you would like any of these quotes, feel free to come up and talk to me afterwards, and I'd be more than willing to share that with you. So, as I said, to begin, I would first like to lay a foundation for everyone. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Why were they scattered? And what the gathering of Israel involves for us? What can we do? So, okay. First, who are they? So God reestablished his covenant with Abraham, his son Isaac, and his grandson Jacob. The Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, whose children became the 12 families or 12 tribes of Israel. Israel's family eventually survived a famine by moving from the promised land to Egypt. There they multiplied and became a great nation. After many years, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Joshua led them into the promised land. At this point, the tribe of Levi were designated as holders of the Aaronic priesthood. Joshua 18:7 explains that the tribe of Levi received the priesthood instead of land as an inheritance. Furthermore, in fulfillment of promises made to Joseph, his sons Ephraim and Manasseh were both given lands of inheritance for their posterity. Eventually, Israel divided into two nations, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Names of families and connections are first Abraham, Isaac's father and the great-grandfather to the 12 tribes of Israel, Isaac, Abraham's son and the grandfather to the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob, also known as Israel, and the literal father to the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel are as follows, and these are just the families with the heads, those being Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. And as aforementioned, Israel adopted Ephraim and Manasseh into his own family. So second, why were the 12 tribes of Israel scattered? The Lord warned the children of Israel that if they turned away from him and worshiped idols, they would be removed from the land of their inheritance. Eventually, they turned from God and were conquered and carried away from the promised land. Assyria conquered the northern kingdom of Israel in 721 BC. They eventually became known as the 10 lost tribes. Later, the southern kingdom of Judah, or the Jews, were conquered and scattered by Babylon about 580 BC. And about 70 years later, many of the Jews began to return to the land of Israel, where they remained as a nation for many generations. In AD 70, and again in AD 135, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and scattered the Jews among all nations. Remarkably, many of the Jews maintained their identity as a people. The lost tribes, however, remain scattered throughout the world. Most of them do not know that they are descendants of Israel. So the scattering in some is that our Israelite forebears were scattered because they rejected the gospel, defiled the priesthood, forsook the church, and departed from the kingdom. Okay, so third, the gathering of Israel. So the gathering of Israel consists of believing and accepting and living in harmony with all that the Lord once offered his ancient chosen people. It consists of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, of repenting, of being baptized, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and of keeping the commandments of God. It consists of believing the gospel, joining the church, and coming into the kingdom. It consists of receiving the holy priesthood, being endowed in holy places with power from on high, and receiving all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the ordinance of celestial marriage. And it may also consist of assembling to an appointed place or land of worship. So I apologize. Like I said, that's a little bit dry because that's setting the foundation so that you all understand, as you probably already do. But that was my foundation for learning the 12 tribes of Israel. So now I'd kind of like to move on to talking about a tent analogy, which last week was spoken of in Sunday school as we read Isaiah 54. And that was going to be part of my introduction, but I'd specifically like to focus on verse 2 in that chapter. And that says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." So with that, brothers and sisters, I'd like to invite you to consider, what are the purposes of a tent? It's a pretty basic concept, so I'm not going to give you too much time to ponder on that. I think it's pretty understandable that, one, it provides shelter, with that, of course, applying to the 12 tribes of Israel, and second, it's a gathering place. On that thought, I would like to move to a word that's often used in, as we read about ancient Israel and in the restoration, and that word is Zion. As I've been reading and listening to Saints, the history of our pioneers, and invited to do so by our stake leaders, I've learned in more detail that many converts in the restoration physically moved to this concept or this place of Zion. And we now know through modern revelation and as we enjoy the wonderful technological advances that we have in these days, that Zion is no longer a place where we have to move. Zion is somewhere wherever saints gather together to worship God. And I find that to be such a blessing, as members of the church in England have Zion in England, wherever they are, here in Orem, Utah, as we do. Moving on, I would like to just talk a little bit more in depth about the cords and the stakes, as mentioned in Isaiah 54, verse 2. So what is the symbolism of lengthening thy cords? In my study of this topic, I found one key principle that can be subdivided into two different topics, are those of literal missionary work or missionary work for the living, as we have the opportunity to share the gospel with those around us, and also missionary work for the dead. As we do family history and temple work, we have that opportunity to be able to lengthen the cords of this figurative tent, as Isaiah talks about. Next, I'd like to talk about, what is the symbolism of strengthening thy stakes? And in doing so, I'd like to quote President Benson, as he taught that there are four primary purposes of stakes. First, each stake, presided over by three high priests and supported by 12 men, known as a high council, becomes a miniature church to the saints in a specific geographic area. The purpose is to unify and perfect the members who live in those boundaries by extending to them the church programs, the ordinances, and gospel instruction. Second, members of stakes are to be models or standards of righteousness. Third, stakes are to be a defense. They do this as stake members unify under their local priesthood officers and consecrate themselves to do their duty and keep their covenants. Those covenants, if kept, become a protection from error, evil, or calamity. And fourth, we only build temples and stakes. The blessings and ordinances of the temple prepare one for exaltation, of course. It is not possible for every stake to have a temple, but we are presently witnessing some remarkable, yes, miraculous developments in the building of temples in different parts of the world. Such a program permits members of the church to receive the full blessings of the Lord. And that gathering together upon the land of Zion and upon her stakes may be for a defense and for a refuge from the storm and from wrath when it shall be poured out without mixture upon the whole earth." And that's the purpose of the stakes. Getting towards the end, I'd like to just talk about assisting us in our individual efforts in strengthening the stakes, because we have to have a personal foundation before we're able to go out and to share the gospel. And in doing this, I'm a man, I love the basics. I always hear people talk negatively about the primary answers, or there's a bunch of different names for them, but I just like to focus on not only reading our scriptures, but studying our scriptures. As members of this church, as part of God's kingdom here on earth, are we really taking the time to study the scriptures? And as we pray, are we communicating with our Heavenly Father, or are we simply talking to Him? I invite you all to consider that. As well as we attend our church meetings, are we merely present, or are we active? Are we really doing everything that we can to benefit those around us and to magnify the callings that we've been given? Whether that be as simple as ministering assignments or as advanced as a stake president or a bishop. Brothers and sisters, I apologize. Like I said, this is not how I intended to give this talk. But in giving this talk and in talking about these principles, I know that I condemn myself and a lot of what I talked about because I'm nowhere where I need to be currently. But I find hope and solace in the atonement of Jesus Christ that He has provided for me to improve every day. And I know that as we all look to the atonement and as we look to our Savior, that we can all enjoy that. In closing, I would just like to share with you my testimony. Brothers and sisters, I know that the gathering of Israel is taking place, and we can choose to be a part of it, or we can choose to stand idly by. I know for a fact that my Savior lives, and I know that He watches over each of us. And in as much as we're willing to reach out to Him and to really seek His presence in our lives, He will have the ability to greater influence our lives and to assist us in this divine effort of gathering Israel. I'm grateful for this opportunity that I had to speak, and I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We appreciate the Lisenbys for their talks. President Nelson has hit on this multiple times, the Gathering of Israel. The other thing, we were in a training a few weeks ago, and it talked also about the bringing people onto the covenant path, and that's also pertaining to us as individuals and within our family. And these are, you know, critical things that we need to do as individuals, but also as we share those with family and friends. I'd also like to thank Brother Grapes and Sister Clifford for our music. The closing hymn will be 306, God's Daily Care, and the benediction will be offered by Sister Haley Weeks.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you this Sabbath day in gratitude, Father, that we could be here. We are grateful for those who have shared their thoughts and their talks today, and ask that we'll be able to remember to share the gospel in what ways we can, in our actions and through friends. And Father, we ask that thou bless those who aren't here today, that we'll be able to keep them in our minds. Father, we love thee, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.